Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio. 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
We hope you're having a great start to your day out there. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Happy Election Day. Happy Democracy Day.
Yes, happy Democracy Day.
I think we should start calling it that. I feel that's
I think so.
It's a busy, busy, busy day around here. We're going to get to that for you in a moment. First up, looking at our normal, unusual, usual suspects that we have lined up in this 7 o'clock hour, Mel and I will get into our National Day of calendar. Got some election information as far as outside of the election, just the election day in general. I want to talk a little bit about. Looking forward to that. Mel's going to move her chair. She's going to...
Nope, I just ran into the desk.
Is that what it was?
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. Mel, we got that going on. It's live radio, so you never know. All of that's going to go on in this 7 o'clock hour. We're also going to get into the 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. We got a bunch of fun giveaways we're doing. I want to focus on in that 8 o'clock hour a little bit with you, Melissa. Mm-hmm. And in the 9 o'clock hour, good stories. That ain't right stories. Some entertainment. Payment news as well, all that coming up for you. Before we get into our election information and coverage, Melissa, how are you doing this morning?
Oh, pretty good. It's been an eventful morning already.
Can imagine. To go along with an eventful day yesterday, we both know.
Yes.
A lot going on behind the scenes here. Nothing bad, negative.
Just
a very busy time. Anybody who is new in radio, and I'm not counting you with that, Melissa, because it feels like you've been in radio for 20 years now.
but today is year one.
Yeah, it is. And that's thank you so much, because I really wanted to get to that. Let's start the show right there, Melissa. So this is a year for Mel with us here at WFHR, everybody.
Yeah, 1 year. Woohoo!
Yes. Wait. It's not official until...
Wait, I survived. Oh, there we go.
Yeah, we got to get the winning bell. Our one sound effect. It has been a blast and a joy and honor working with you, Melissa.
Well, thank you. It's definitely been a journey. We're a lot different place now than when we started a year ago. That's
literally.
For sure. Yeah. More than once.
it's really, really, in all honesty, it's just been a blast working with you. I'm enjoying it so much.
I really am, too.
Days like today, we're really putting that to the test.
And by the end of the day, you may have my resignation.
And let's get to that, Melissa. First, I want to actually touch on the election and everything. And I don't want to take from it being a good day for you and us around here celebrating you. But putting our focus where we need to, as it is our job.
Right.
We want to talk about the election. I want to let people know right now where you can vote here in Wisconsin Rapids. We'll get to this information again in the 9 o'clock hour in case anybody misses it. And I understand that a lot of people do already know this stuff. There are always, every year I hear from people that wish that we would cover it more. So just to get to some of these, for Wisconsin Rapids, you of course have two polling places, wards 1 through 10, West Side voters, and those living in the red area on the map at the wirapids.org, the Wisconsin Rapids website. You're going to be voting in the Centralia Center at 220 3rd Avenue South. Wards 11 through 27, East Side voters, with the exception of those living in that red area again on that map, and you can see it again at wirapids.org. Wards 11 through 27, you're going to vote at the East Junior High School Fieldhouse at 311 Lincoln Street.
Yes. And they do have those maps there up at the voting centers, at the polling places, and you can ask which ward you're in there. More than happy to direct you and tell you where to go.
Yes. You can get in there in about an hour, 8 to 4, I believe around 8 o'clock is when they may have been open at 7. I'm not 100.
I'm pretty sure they open at 7.
You're right. They open at 7. I'm sorry. They are already open right now, so get on down there and vote if you like. Bring us with you. I got a portable radio. That's always it's not what's
right on
important.
Your phone.
That is certainly there. Melissa, do you think it'd be a good idea if we went over a handful of the things that people are going to see on their ballot today?
Sure. We absolutely can do that.
So we, of course, have for governor incumbent Tony Evers and, of course, Tim Michaels running against him. For Attorney General, Josh Call is the incumbent. Eric Toney is running the opposer. Secretary of State Doug LaFollette and LaFollette and Amy Lynn Loudenbeck are going to be in this one.
Well, and also Neil Harmon in the Libertarian Party and Cheryl R. McFarland for the Wisconsin Green.
Yeah, I wanted to get to those names. Just was trying to think of how to say Miss McFarland's name or Cheryl's name. That's I haven't seen Cheryl spell it. I like that how she spelled that though. That's an interesting spelling. State Treasurer Alan Richardson and John Lieber are going to be voting for U.S. Senator. Sorry, Melissa.
Nope, that's okay.
U.S. Senator Ron Johnson is the incumbent. Mandela Barnes is the opposer. Third Congressional District, Plaff and Derek Van Orden. Mm-hmm. In the 71st Assembly District, Katrina Shankland and Scott Soyek. 72nd Assembly District, Scott Krug and Christy Greening. Mm-hmm. Also on your ballot, the Wood County Ballot Initiative's advisory referendum, should the Wisconsin legislature create a law allowing for direct ballot initiatives for statewide legislation. That will be on there for Wood County voters. Mm-hmm. Of course, everybody in your own county might have something different. Just something to keep in mind. Certainly do your homework before going into these. If you notice, I did not mention Democrat or Republican candidates. If that is what you care about, then you don't need me. You don't even need to listen to Melissa and I. If that's all you care about, then you're just going to be voting the way you're going to vote, and you're going to vote for your party. I'm a big believer in person over party. I don't believe that that is something that should be... Let the politicians address that stuff. For me, that's not something I'm too interested in. I care about people. I care about what, you know, are you going to be voting for your constituents' best, you know, needs, or are you going to be voting for what's in your pocket, for who's putting into your pocket? Mm-hmm. These are the things that matter to me. For our voters out there, the majority of people that I've heard in the 9 years that I've been doing this here at WFHR in my second run here, that's what I hear from people. That's what I hear people care about. So, not sure about you, Melissa. Not sure how you want to cover this or anything. If you want to get a little more detailed with the public, Democrat, Republican, I'm fine with that. But just for myself, that's the way that I look at the vote elections. I'm just looking at people. Really don't give a dang what letter is in front of your name.
Yes, and it's important to be informed voters. To know what you're going to the polls to vote for and know what these representatives what they are going to be able to do for you once they get in office or stay in office. So those are all important things to know.
It's important as well too, Melissa. I think that if you once you align that what you're looking for with the candidate that fits that best, I feel like the other part as far as party wise will come into play. It is pretty divisive right now, and it's not just with us. It's, you know, the parties have set their line in the sand, and chances are if you are interested or this is something that is important to you, whatever subject, it is aligned with a certain party by now.
Yeah.
Let's look at our coverage, Mel. And taking a look at this, we got coverage all day going on throughout the day. Of course, CBS News is going to be giving you updates at the top of the hour throughout the process. But then, of course, you will have we will have some interesting stuff from special events coverage going on today. Looking forward to that. Anchorage coverage commentary. We will have Pat Cartlow and Chad Holmes joining our airwaves from time to time. Don Brown at Waukesha, Earl Ingram in, live at Mandela's party. And Terry Bell is going to be bringing us election updates. And in Wisconsin Rapids area, we will have updates right here from our own Melissa Kay.
Yes, we will be giving our local races, so mostly Wood, Adams, and Portage counties at 46 after the hour. So starting for the first report will be 7:46 p.m. tonight.
So for our listeners, that's probably the key spot to listen to. We, of course, encourage you to listen all day here. Why turn your dial? I mean, it's so, you know, it takes so much energy and effort and everything. Just keep it right here. It's safer that way. But yeah, really, really, really cannot wait to be listening for that, Melissa. I have a class tonight, but I specifically am going to be working it to where those hours I can get away to listen to your coverage. Because I
just
care.
Just talk amongst yourselves.
Yes, yes.
I got to tune in on my radio.
my students have gotten a little used to that, so. It just usually involves a football or hockey game. This is bigger than that, though. This is bigger than that. This is so darn important. And you got a million attack ads and different commercials telling you how important it is. And most anybody in talking head on any of the news networks is telling you how important it is. By now, I hope you realize how important it is. This is democracy. This is where we not only do we prove that this works, that democracy works, that we show all dictatorships, that we show the rest of the world the way democracy can be done right. Mm-hmm. But it also shows, to me, this is also what it is to be an American. One of the most American things you can do today is not just being informed and getting out of there and voting, but treating your fellow voters, treating these people working at the polling stations with respect. Our poll workers work their tails off for us. They do a job that not many people are willing to do out there, and less every day are willing to do.
Yeah, under a lot of pressure. There is a lot of pressure on these poll workers and election officials.
Let's you know, have some grace. Let's treat each other with respect today.
Consideration.
That is how democracy it grows. That's how it stays stronger. And let's see some numbers. We've seen in the last presidential election, we saw a record number of votes of people getting out there and voting.
And, over 70% turnout in our state.
And nationally, we still didn't even hit 80%. We hit 80% of the American public voting in a presidential election. The rest of the world sees that and laughs at that. There are people in countries that travel on foot for 50, 60 miles just to stand in line, just to be able to vote. Realize your privilege. Realize what you have in this country. There are plenty of people in this country that are having a hard time voting. So if you are not one of them, understand that privilege you have. It's okay. Privilege is not a bad thing. It just is something you need to understand you have.
And have an appreciation
of. And get out there and vote. And, and do it now if you want. I mean, get it out of the way. As soon as I'm done on the air here, I've got a couple of meetings today to lead up to teaching, and that's what I'm doing. I'm getting out of here. I'm voting right away, so I know it's covered. In years past, I'll get it in 4 o'clock. I'll get it in around 5 o'clock. And I'm always there around 7, just cutting it at the last minute. I'm going to get it in right away.
Well, as long as you're in line by 8, you will get to vote. And employers in Wisconsin have to, by law, give you 3 successive hours to vote today.
So, Melissa, how are you feeling about you covering this today? For a little look behind the curtain and everything, this is something in the last 24 hours kind of, it didn't just come up, but it has really developed and kind of we've gotten the blueprint of in this last amount of time.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to being able to do those 4-minute drop-ins to give updates on our local elections. Initially, it'll be a little coverage on who's running in the local races, just to kind of lay it out for our listeners. And then we'll just give the updated numbers every hour, 46 after. So for as long as the races seem before they're basically decided.
Yeah.
Once they're, you know, reached that point, well, it's obvious so-and-so is going to win, then we'll probably tailor off the local coverage. But the commentary is going to go on, I believe, until midnight, as far as I know.
I see from what I see here, yeah. Especially
until the races are called, yeah.
Yeah, especially with certain people, if they win, that we may even be at their, you know, celebrations.
Mm-hmm.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
Can we also do something else here, Melissa? Because there's something that I have another thing that I've been feeling. Push aside the attack ads and a lot of the negativity. There's an excitement about today.
Yeah,
there's an excitement from.
It is an exciting day,
I don't know if people always understand. That's all right. That democracy is exciting. This is an exciting thing we get to be. We choose our leaders. Everybody, we pick who is going to be representing us. Again, not everybody gets to do that. It's not lost on me, and I don't believe most of the people out there how important this is. We talk about doing right by our soldiers, by our seniors, by the people that paved the way for us. So many different individuals and different groups in life. This is how you do it. Like, there's a lot of different ways to show your appreciation. This is one of the biggest ways. I almost guarantee you, ask any veteran, any current enlisted soldier, anybody who has, again, come from a time where this wasn't always the case.
Right.
This is how you make freedom ring. This is how you show what it is to be an American. Get out there, be informed, and vote. And be good to each other while you're doing it.
Absolutely. That's paramount.
That is paramount. It is vital to this. It almost throws everything else out the window if you go there to a polling place and you give people who aren't voting on your side or the poll workers a hard time. Or if you're walking into this with clenched fists. If you're walking into this like some certain people are, where they're saying that we already got to have a recount. We have not even literally voted yet, and we already need a recount, and we can't trust this, we can't trust that. Sowing these seeds of mistrust in our democracy, the only people that win are dictators, are other people around the world who are looking at us and want to see us fail. Yes. Yep. Get out there. Get freedom ring, heard. Baby. Let freedom ring.
This is your chance.
I do want to, again, give those websites. I do encourage you, if you are looking for information, the League of Women Voters website, lwv.org, a very trusted site. Of course, for personal local coverage here in Wisconsin Rapids, not coverage, but information, go to wirapids.org/election-voter-information. Wirapids.org is your website. We'll come back in a little bit with our National Day of Calendar. In a little while, I want to talk about how many of us believe that today should be a federal holiday?
absolutely should. I do.
Yeah, I'm gonna cheat already. I don't usually do this, but I'm with you, Melissa. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. But we'll get into some more details, how the American public feels about that. There's some stats and all that. When we come back, it's Melissa and James taking you through your morning on WFHR.
Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. It is 7:22 on the clock. Got Melissa and James here. Morning, Mel.
Good morning.
We are going to get into our National Day of Calendar, and we jump right into cook something bold and pungent today.
Bold and pungent.
I don't remember this one. I don't remember if I've seen this one.
I like the title.
It's a great title. I got to say, I didn't read it before I said it. I was just doing a Ron Burgundy there and just reading it. It's even funnier that way. Cook Something Bold and Pungent Day is an event that leaves little to the imagination. In other words, cook something original, spicy, and even a bit offensive in the entire intent of this day.
All right.
Still, it is not meant to merely represent a disgusting concoction of disparate ingredients. Cook Something Bold and Pungent is intended to celebrate the use of herbs such as garlic and hot pepper to promote health and longevity. The best way to recognize Cook Something Bold and Pungent Day is by, you guessed it, cooking something bold and pungent. By using a bit of imagination, one may even find that a surprisingly original dish can be created. When boldness is combined with innovation, some interesting results can occur. I believe that many people out there do this already. I know it's something that, I'm not saying he originated it, but in my family, my dad putting Italian seasoning or garlic on his burgers. Oh, gosh. So good. I know it's not exactly what they're talking about here, but it's awfully darn close.
It's a little different. It's not something you know that everybody does.
Man, if you have not tried that, try it.
Oh, yeah, I bet it's good. I actually did this last night for dinner. I just kind of made something on the fly. I worked late, and when my boyfriend got home, I just had a pile of stuff on the countertop. It was just a pile of random stuff sitting there because I had gone to the grocery store and I was going to get going, but then I got distracted with work. And, you know, an hour later, we sat down to eat. He's like, you know, I really like that I can come home to a pile of something and it turns into a delicious meal, which he helped with.
Right, right.
Because I can you do this? Can you stir this?
Oh, yeah.
You're in charge of the garlic bread.
That is my childhood, Melissa. That is, yes. That's awesome.
It's fun.
Well, especially if you, for those that aren't as confident in cooking or haven't done it as much, today's a great day to really, you know, get some reps, to get some practice in, to start working
and
on that.
If you want to make something easy that's pungent, just boil some cabbage.
Really? Oh, I would.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Boiled cabbage will make your house smell very interesting. Or make any kind of soup that has leeks in it. Because the vegetable leeks, which is similar to onions.
Okay. Yes, I know what you mean.
They're big, though. They look like giant green onions. But they smell really earthy when they're cooking. So it's an interesting smell in your house, but it tastes delicious.
It seems like, as far as pungent things that also can like almost go in anything, garlic seems like a good one, Melissa. Is that the case? Okay.
I cook with garlic in practically every meal I make, James, so that's not...
Right on.
It's a constant smell in my house.
I love garlic. Love it. National Dunce Day. Hey, come on. Right? Really? So very personal. That's very...
Wow.
Oh, it's not on...
It was aimed right at you.
I thought it was. It is not directed right at me.
I take that back. Yeah. Did I say that out loud?
The meaning of dunce is considered to be a stupid or slow-witted person, as its history and association with the dunce cap has been negatively portrayed. However, when it was created, this cap was considered to be a symbol that was used by respected scholars.
Interesting. Hailing, when do these things get flipped completely around?
I want to spend the whole show just looking and diving into this and how this happened. Hailing from Dunes, Scotland, John Duns Scotus seems to have been the creator of the dunce cap, who was a scholar and a Franciscan priest. The idea of the tall, pointy hat in the mind of its creator was that it would inspire the flow of wisdom. In fact, this may have been the inspiration for the association of pointy hats with wizards.
Nice.
The term dunce was likely derived from the fact that the followers of the scholar were called dunsmen, which naturally turned into dunce. Duns made a huge impact on modern thought and was a vital voice throughout Europe in the Middle Ages, and so much more interesting history regarding him. However, John Duns Scotus, philosophical and religious theories were popular during his life in the 1200s and early 1300s. They moved out of favor in the 1500s in favor of more humanistic views. And the pointy hat became a sign filled with negative connotations and shame. Some teachers would even use it to embarrass children who did not perform well or were not acting properly in school. The observance of National Dunce Day coincides with the death of the medieval scholar after whom it is named.
Okay, interesting. So that's why November 8th has this connotation?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very. I don't believe that there are coincidences in life. Very funny it lands on Election Day. Hilarious to me. Now, how you can celebrate this day, get involved with celebrating. One way that they say you can celebrate is perhaps John Duns Scotus was onto something when he thought that wearing a tall, pointy hat would allow for wisdom to flow better through the brain. So take National Dunce Day as an opportunity to test this theory and enjoy the fun of wearing a tall, pointy hat.
Plus, and people will ask you, are you a wizard?
Yes. And nobody in history has ever been ashamed, offended by being asked if you're a wizard. So,
yes, I am. And mine, you know, then you come up with a fancy name.
Yeah. It is also World Quality Day. Ever picked up a product, excited to get it home, only to find out that when you open the box and put it to its intended task for the first time, it just falls apart. Or called in to get technical support, and you pretty much just get a set of read-out responses rather than the assistance of people who are actually knowledgeable in the subject. These terrible experiences just enhance the absolute necessity of quality in every aspect of business. On this day, it is time for us to discuss techniques of innovation, inspiration, and creative ideas, with quality serving as a fundamental part of all of this.
Okay.
It's a good day to kind of go over some of those things.
Mm-hmm.
As we mentioned, it is Election Day, and it is also Shot Day.
I was just hoping you were going to go there.
Do you love a good drink that goes down smooth and quick? When was the last time you went out to the bar, either with friends or family or colleagues? Do you enjoy shots and wonder where the idea of these came from? If you want to know more about the alcoholic you're consuming, how it's measured out, or what goes into your favorites, all these different names that they have and everything, here's a little history. There are many types of glassware in the world, from those used for formal occasions such as champagne flutes to the smallest glass behind the bar, the shot glass. The shot glass was invented by Frederick Ott Schott, C-H-O-C-H-O-T-T, co-founder of the glassworks company Schott and Gassenhausen. It was Americanized when from Scott Glass to shot glass.
Mm-hmm.
There are those that say that the original shot glass was the small reinforced glass container that scribes would put their quills in when they finished writing.
Interesting.
There is some consultation about what the appropriate size for a shot glass is. In the U.S., the standard size is 1 to 1.5 ounces, while in Europe, they are commonly 20 to 60 milliliters. There are even different names for it. In Brazil, it is called a dose, and is also known as a jigger. While the jigger is usually made from stainless steel, the shot is usually either frosted or clear glass. And you can buy them with logos and a range of colors. Shot glasses are a common thing collected by tourists and travelers to commemorate their trip.
Yeah, that's an easy one to give as a gift when you come back from traveling.
Definitely, yeah.
Buy somebody a shot glass.
It's World Radiography Day, or Radiography Day. I think I'm saying that right. Of course, in 1895, there was an incredible discovery made, one that would utterly change the way we looked at the human body, both literally and figuratively. On the back of his discovery, a million new techniques would be developed in the areas of medicine, security, and so much more. The man who discovered us? William Röntgen. And as a result, he may just be the one of the most important men in medical history. And that's what we celebrate on this day. The X-ray was discovered by accident as part of an experiment where Wilhelm was attempting to ascertain whether or cathode rays could pass through glass. Nearby, there was a chemically coated screen, and from it was emitting an odd glow, and dubbed the rays causing that glow X-rays. Why, you ask? Because he didn't know what they were. So the ambiguous X for unknown was utilized. They've been called X-rays ever since.
Really? I suppose, because X doesn't really have anything to do with radiography.
Right. I think it's so fascinating how many of our greatest and most important and vital inventions happened on accident. Like, and there's, I believe, like something like this, like say that accident doesn't happen, the X-ray is still going to get built, but it probably doesn't happen as soon.
Right, and not in the way that it did, obviously.
I find it to be one of the most interesting things in human history is how so many of these important things were came to be.
Right. Well, and I thought it was kind of interesting how the X-ray, you know, they didn't realize at first that it was could be damaging, and they used it as a party favor.
Right. Right. Which is insane to think about
it's
now,
insane.
Knowing
yes.
what we know, you know.
Right. Like, yeah. Sure. I want to see what it looked like on the inside.
What could go wrong? Hey, put it right here. Right in the moneymaker. Yeah. Put it right there. What could go wrong with that? It is National Cappuccino Day.
Yum.
Yes. The name cappuccino originally came from the Capuchin friars, a minor order of Franciscan friars within the Catholic Church, headquartered in Rome, Italy. These friars in the 16th century were well known for their missionary work in helping the poor and were dedicated to extreme killing extreme poverty with simplicity. Wearing a brown robe and a pointed hood, it is believed that the name stemmed from a specific person in the order, Marco de Avicio. According to the Telegraph, when an Ottoman Turk army tried marching into Vienna in 1683, Devio united the outnumbered Christian troops and made them victorious in defending Vienna. The legend says that after the Turks fled, they left behind Ottoman coffee, and because the Christians found it to be bitter, they sweetened it with milk and honey and named it after the order of the Cappuccinis.
That's hilarious. So they're known for austerity, poverty, and simplicity, and they made the most decadent coffee you can drink.
Kind of weird, huh?
It's funny.
A little weird. But that's human history. I love it. Oh,
there
just
it is.
Love it. I can't get enough of this. And it is finally National STEM Day. STEAM. Thank you, Melissa. Science, technology, engineering, art, mathematics. These spaces continue to grow at a rapid pace, and they are strongly influential in the changing the culture of the world. While the acronym STEM, art is a new addition, these academic disciplines are often grouped together as they have strong similarities in education, policy, workforce, and more. It's a great day.
It's an important day.
Mm-hmm. Melissa, do you? I always, and I don't mean to just always put you in this spot, but coming from the, I don't, you know, we don't have enough people on the air with us that really come from an education background and have a lot of that in their history. And certainly you, even though you didn't go to school, you've been in a school much more recently than I have, really. unless you count going in and out of Point for coffee with my daughter, right? You know, at the university. I don't know. Has the emphasis really been, has more of an emphasis been put on this in our classrooms from your perspective?
Absolutely. They have a lot more, I would say, organizations that are focused on this, especially trying to get women involved, young ladies involved in these STEM or STEAM. I'm glad they added art because that was an important one that I think was missing.
Agreed.
It's getting cut out of a lot of other areas in our education system, and that's super important because if we didn't have art, we don't have anything to enrich our lives in that fashion.
You're right. There are plenty of people, especially times like this, days like this, where, look, I'm up to date in all the things I need to know about the election. I just need a break. I don't want to talk politics. I just need a break. Mm-hmm. And look what's waiting right there for you, arts and entertainment. Just sitting there waiting for you. You want a book, you want a movie, you want a TV show, you want a song, whatever. Arts is right there for you. It is an integral part of our society.
But if we don't have young people that are going to go into those fields, we won't have it. You know, who's going to create those movies? Who's going to create that art?
Well,
we have to encourage that in our society to keep it alive and keep it going.
If I can push back just for a second, Melissa, I don't need competition as an actor, so I don't want the young people. No, I could not agree with you more. You're so right. You hit it right on the head, Mel. Every syllable you said there. Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
These STEM, STEAM, these jobs, they only approximately account for 7% right now, but that is going to grow because these are, let's see, what is that acronym? I've got to see what, I don't know if it says right here what it actually stands for, but they're jobs in technology, in mathematics, in engineering.
Yeah.
So these are all jobs that we are going to definitely need, and we need people to take them on.
We got to get to break, get to Melissa's news, and well said again, Melissa. We'll get to Mel's news here. We'll come back, and we'll get into, should Election Day be a federal holiday? We'll touch on that. We come back right here on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back. Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. It is 7:43 on the clock. Hope you're having a great Tuesday out there, everybody. Happy Election Day. Happy Democracy Day.
Yeah.
We're going to get into if this should be a day off in just a little bit. But first, a real quick segment here, Melissa. Yankee candles are always popular this time of year. Or you you could change things up and maybe get away from the common smells you've had. Can I interest you in Vlasic selling a new candle scented with dill pickles?
Ooh, actually, maybe.
Yeah. It looks exactly like one of their jars, so you can't even tell it's a candle unless you look closely. So it looks just like the Vlasic jars, even. That's kind of cool.
That's hilarious.
They did it for National Pickle Day, which is November 14th, and they don't go on sale until then, but I found them online available for pre-order. You can sign up for to be notified when they're in stock by going to shopryanporter.com. If you're interested in something like this, I actually I usually rip on these incredibly, and I will a little bit because it is a reach for Vlasic. Yeah. But I am a sucker for, I do like their pickles. I really do. And I don't mind the smell of pickles.
They make really good pickles, and I don't know how else you would get your whole house to smell like a pickle without a candle. I mean, unless you stick pickles in every room, which would be a little weird.
What is it called? What is the process called when you're making, like, to make pickling things?
Canning.
Canning.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't really make the house smell, though. Not like baking.
No.
Because you're sealing things into a jar.
Right.
So what's inside smells good when you open it up, but it's not like it fills the whole house with smell, with a scent. I don't know how often I would want my house to smell like a pickle. Like, that one candle might last me the rest of my life.
Yeah.
But...
you know, it really hits the spot when you need it, though. Really hits it.
It's one of those gifts that you could give somebody that nobody else is going to give them.
I wonder what would happen if you light that candle and then you sit there and, you know, open a actual jar of Vlasic pickles and just start eating them. Will you turn into a pickle? Yeah. Will you turn into one? I'm very curious.
It's possible.
Pickle Man. It's like one of the worst superheroes ever. Like, oh, you get to be a superhero, but you're pickle bad. Like,
it was a popular Halloween costume this year, though.
Yeah, that's true. It's always a good one.
We will we'll take a break real quick here, get our commercials and take care of some bills. And when we come back, I wanted to have a little time to get into the election day. Should it be a federal holiday with you, Melissa?
Mm, okay.
Coming up right here, mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR. Melissa and James here at 7:50 on the clock. Next hour, we're going to get into Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club. We'll also touch on when you should feel adjusted to daylight savings time. We'll touch on that as well. Right now, it's election day, so get out there and vote if you haven't already. You know, can plan, make plans to do it. A lot of people did it earlier, again, to avoid standing in line.
Yes.
So here's the same question asked every election day. Should it finally be a federal holiday to make voting easier? A new poll asked thousands of Americans, and 66% said yes, Election Day should be a holiday. Another 14% aren't sure, and 20% are opposed to the idea. If you don't get the full day off, should you at least get an hour or two of paid time to go vote? Almost as many people support that idea, 65% said yes. And finally, which day of the week would be best for Election Day? It's always on a Tuesday, but would another day be better? According to the poll, no, we think Tuesday is just fine. It was the number one pick with 25% of the vote. Second place went to it doesn't matter with 23%. If it had to be another day, the top choice would be a Saturday at 13%, Sunday and Monday are next at 7%, and Thursday is last with 4% of the vote. I think the fact that you see with a high number, Saturday being the second choice, it telling you again, I know it says 66% of Americans, but it just seems so much higher than that when you actually talk to people.
Yeah.
That believe that it should be a federal holiday, I should say.
Yes. I think that there is some pushback against it because of we have the lowest voter turnout of any democratic country in the world.
I'm so glad you said that, Melissa. I don't want to interrupt. Wait, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I wonder, you know, that's part of the reason why they're saying, well, making it a holiday isn't going to make it better. But the other side is saying, well, but maybe it would. I don't know. I think there are some other initiatives that are going around that maybe would have a better result.
As somebody who is not associated to any one party or any one idea, keeping an open mind and heart when it comes to anything in life, I can say that with this one, I think I got this. I think I figured it out, Melissa. I figured out not only how we could see if this should be a federal holiday or not, but how it could actually happen. We earn it. Say that in any of our elections, our national elections, you get 80% of people voting, 80% of the American public, 80% of people who can vote, voting.
Eligible.
Mm-hmm. Voting. And then the next year, or this happens, and we prove we're going to do this, then we get the day off. We earn the day off.
We get a reward for voting?
Yes,
you know, it's not a bad idea. We do incentives for just about everything else.
It
so
works
why not
for
this?
Yeah, it works for our parents. It certainly works for a lot of people where every single like business nowadays has a club. You know, join the club. Download the app. You'll get 20% off. You know, that kind of thing. Businesses aren't doing that because it's not working. I mean, they're doing it because it works. If this is what it takes to get democracy alive in some people, maybe you know, it's now I'd never been a person that, hey, just go vote. It doesn't matter if you're informed or not. It does get into some dangerous territory there, I admit. And I am being a little silly here, I admit. But just like any good joke, there's a little bit of truth in it. And I do wonder if we could do that as a nation and we could get, you know, 80%+ of the American people voting if they wouldn't prove that we earned this day off. Because I do think that there are too many people. Look at how hard they have made it for some people to vote. And I'm not saying that we should obviously have any illegal voting or anything like that.
No.
But I'm talking about people with disabilities, certain things like that.
Restricting assistance for people who need it, who absolutely need the assistance. That seems really wrong to me.
We're all in a rush on a holiday, but we have the time.
they have the ability to cram in as many. Okay, we're going to go to this house, and this house on Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever. And we're able to map it out and plan it out because we know for a fact that day's off. That day I don't have to work. That's mm-hmm. my day. Maybe more people would vote if they had the time off, if they had the ability to. Well, I can't get it into my day. Or what have you, or it is a difficulty, like for some, in getting to a polling place, or getting even an absentee vote ballot in, which is a whole other conversation now. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is something that we can keep shelving. I don't think it's something that we can just keep kicking the can about. I think it needs to be truly, you know, dissected and really figure out if this is something, if it would benefit our democracy to have this day off. We get other days off people. I know plenty of people that on any of the major holidays that we have off could care less about that said holiday. So I'm not saying it's a guarantee. Hey, if I had the day off, they're definitely going to vote. But the majority of people we know celebrate that day one way or another.
In some way.
Yeah, having the day off.
The pushback for it, though, in one way, though, is that not everybody could take the day off. We still have to have grocery stores open, convenience stores open. There's a large segment of the population that would still need to work. So I would say that in addition to it being a holiday, if that was the way that they went with this, they would need to require employers to give employees time off, paid time off. Because right now in Wisconsin, it's not.
Right.
You are allowed to have 3 hours off to vote, but you're not going to get paid. So that's a deterrent to some people who have to work today who need that money.
Yeah,
can't afford to lose 3 hours of work.
We've gone as a society from living check to living hour to hour and needing every one of those hours. I can relate to that. I get that
backwards.
Completely. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. There are 8 states in this country, though, that send mail-in ballots to every registered voter. 8 states and D.C. That's another option. If everybody had a mail-in ballot sent to them, that's another option to help people vote.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, I think all this stuff is worth talking about at the very least, regardless if anything gets moved or not. If it moves an inch in the conversation, the only way we're going to get it to move is by talking about it and figuring out, you know, what the best way to handle this is, what's the best way to do it is.
Yes.
You're never going to get make 100% of people happy. There's always going to be some division here a little bit with it. That's our way. That's who we are as a country. But 65% is a very high number when you consider that, and especially considering the fact that another 14% of those people are unsure, which means that they could with the right getting information that applies to them maybe make a decision.
Right.
The opposing of the idea, I would like to hear more feedback on that side of it. Even just playing devil's advocate in my head or reading online, I'm not seeing a lot other than theory, other than, you know, which on the other side of things, you can make the same argument, I suppose.
Well, except that there is data from other states of, for instance, the sending out of mail-in ballots to all of their registered voters. Their voter involvement has increased.
Every soldier that is serving across overseas is doing that kind of voting, absentee voting.
Right.
It's an interesting conversation, isn't it?
I just wish that we could have a conversation about it, a civil conversation with both sides trying to work together toward resolving this in a fashion that makes it easier for people to vote, harder for there to be fraud. Not that there is really any. They have found negligible amounts. No matter all of these court cases and all of these charges against it, they have found basically nothing.
Yeah.
So our system is safe, secure. We just need to find ways to make it easier for everybody to get to the polls.
I think that if we can do that as a society, we're gaining the wins more. We need some wins here as a society coming out of the last 3 years and everything. And things like that, when we show what we're made of, when we show what we can do for each other, that kind of stuff goes so much farther than I think we realize. Especially if you take a step back and think about history in general and how much that changed so many different things in life when just a group of people or one person or somebody putting a focus on another person and another group. and helping them get to where, you know, even level with the rest of us and with the rest of society, I should say. I shouldn't include myself in that one. we're going to take a break right here. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club. We're also going to get into when you should start feeling normal again after daylight savings time.
What is normal, James?
Yep, that's such a weird word. And that we got plenty more after that coming up right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.